What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
Well, listen, guys, I didn't play it enough. We got to get in the Word, right? We are in a series, and it is called The Ingredients of Faith. And y'all, I have so enjoyed this series. It has been so rich, so good. Pastor Paul actually shared last week, and it was just so good. I actually want to encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to listen to every part of this series, to go back. We post on our app, all the podcasts, because each week it is so, so rich, all the things that we've been learning. And if you've been following along with this series, you'll know that we believe that there are five components to be found in our faith. Five components, or should I say ingredients, that should be found in our faith. And I want to make this very clear before I move any further, that we all understand that this is not a formula. Okay. I think human nature is that we always want to find the formula. Like, we just want to figure something out. And I want you to know, you can't figure God out. Okay. Right. And I love that he does things so differently in the Word. You can see he performed many miracles, but there wasn't one method, because he wants to make sure that we don't end up trusting the method more than we trust him. You know what I mean? And so you got to understand that these ingredients, by no means are we trying to manipulate the hand of God, okay? They are not a formula, but we do believe that when we look at biblical faith, that when we look at the Word and we look at the fathers of faith that are all in the Word of God, we do see these ingredients. And I don't know about you, but I don't want fickle faith. I want biblical, foundational, and strong faith. And so we believe that these ingredients, when you put them together, you'll find that your faith will grow. And we call it ingredients because if you know anything about cooking or baking, you know that every ingredient matters. Like, it's very important, right? Like I've said it before, but if I went home and I made a batch of cookies and I put all of the ingredients in those cookies except for sugar, the reality is that those cookies will probably look just like cookies, right? Like, they would probably even smell like cookies, and it'll probably make somebody mad, because as soon as they take a bite, they're going to realize real quick, that ain't no cookie, right? Or at least it ain't a good cookie. And the reality is, we feel like it's no different than with our faith. That without these components, that our faith can often appear to be very strong. It can appear to be very secure. But it's something about when the trials of life come. And I said when, because we all know they will, right? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the trials come. We find that our faith sometimes isn't exactly what we thought it was. And I'm gonna be honest, I found myself in that position, right? I grew up in church, so I was like, yes, I got faith. And then there's something about when life has hit me sometimes, I'm like, woohoo, I need to pray some more. Right? Like my faith, it needs to be purified. It needs to be refined. It needs to be strengthened. And that's what we've been doing in this series. And so real quick, the five ingredients that we believe should be in our faith is number one, belief. Number two, trust. Number three, obedience. Number four, risk. And number five, loyalty. Belief, trust, obedience, risk, and loyalty. What's cool is that we have been following the life of Abraham, because just like I was talking about with Pastor and Miss Belinda, you can look at his life and you can see every single one of these ingredients played out at one time or another. And so each week we've been dissecting his life and seeing these ingredients from the first one, even to belief. If you know anything about Abraham's story, you know that him and his wife, they were barren. They could not have children. And he kind of got to this position in Genesis chapter 15 where he was really weary. He was ready to settle. And he literally said, I guess I'm going to have to give my inheritance to my servant because I cannot have children. And God spoke to him. And not only did he speak to him, but he gave him a word of all time. He said, not only will you bear children, but you will be the father of many nations. Like, you will bear many children. Look at the stars in the sky. As many stars as you see is as many children as you will have. And what I love about this moment was Abraham's response. In Genesis 15, it says that Abram believed the Lord and he accredited to him as righteousness. There we see it, that first ingredient, which is belief. You got to understand, like, we all know, every single one of us in here, we know faith is big. It's important. It's a big deal. We even know scriptures like in Hebrews 11 that says it's impossible to please God without faith. But I also need you to know that it's impossible to have faith without first believing. It's impossible to please God without faith. We know that. But you won't even get to faith without first starting with just belief. Believing what he says. But here's the thing. What we realize is that biblical faith doesn't just stop at belief. Matter of fact, in scriptures like in James 2, it says even the demons believe. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to have the same faith level as the demons. I don't, right? Like, I want to have biblical faith, the faith of my forefathers, the faith of, like Pastor and Miss Belinda. I want to grow in faith, and we know to grow in faith, you got to go beyond just believing. And there's where that second ingredient comes into play, which is trust. It's trust. What's interesting is when you look at the life of Abraham, you find that he actually failed his first trust test. He actually did. Because we just talked about this incredible moment, right, where Abraham is like, I believe God. He looked at the stars in the sky, and he was like, yes. But then the very next chapter in Genesis 16, his wife comes to him and it says, I haven't had any children still. You got to think about that time in between the promise and reality. You know, we've all been there. God spoke something, but what you're looking at don't look like what he spoke. Right? And that's where Sarah was. She's like, we still don't have children. And she was like, you know what? Let's just help God. y'all know we get there sometimes where it's like, you know, I know what God wants and I could just help him. What in the world do we think we helping him with? Right? And so she said, listen, you can sleep with my slave, my Egyptian slave, and we can help God and we will have children. And I'm gonna be honest, like, that is so crazy to me that to think that she would even suggest that. And we know Abraham believed, so of course he wouldn't agree with that. But if you read in the scripture, it goes on to say, and Abram agreed to what Sarah said. Miss Belinda, she said, sure he did. He sure did. But in the Gilead household, we ain't doing that. So no. That's what we're not going to do, right? Right? He agreed to what Sarah said. And this is the moment that we see that it is possible to believe God yet not trust him. Like you can genuinely believe in God's ability yet not trust his intentions for you. Right? Like you can believe God can, but not believe he wants to do that for you. I've been there before. Where I really was like, you know what? I know if God wants to, he will. But I guess I'm going to have to make this happen. That's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. And the reality is what I found, and even Pastor Paul has mentioned this, that where there is trust, you will find rest. Where there is trust, you will find peace. And you can see that Sarah, obviously, she didn't trust God because she was not resting. Matter of fact, she was trying to manipulate. She was trying to figure out, how can I make this happen? And isn't that where we get when we don't trust? Right? We try to scheme and figure out, okay, if I do this and if I move that and and he's like, no, like, if you trust me, there will be rest. There will be peace. But here's the thing, it didn't stop there. That we see that there are more ingredients included. And last week, Pastor Paul talked about the ingredient of obedience. And the reality is that on your faith journey, there will be a moment, I guarantee you, where God is asking for a response from you. Where it's more than you just believing. Where it's more than you trusting. But God will say, I want you to partner with me. And to respond and to do. And we see this in Abraham's life, right? Not only does he go on and of course they made their mistake and he continues in faith with God. They end up having their son Isaac. And then you see this moment of all moments in Genesis 22 where God says, I want you to take your one son, the son that you have been believing for, and I want you to sacrifice him. Are you kidding me? this whole journey that Abraham has been on. And then he gets to a moment where God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. The one son that you have been believing for and praying for and waiting for and interceding for. I want you to sacrifice. And of course, Pastor Paul went through the whole story and we see that God provided, but he wanted his heart to be a heart of obedience, a heart of surrender. And I want you to understand this morning that yes, your faith is going to require you to believe. Yes, your faith is going to require you to trust. But if you don't add the ingredients of obedience, it is missing. It is missing something that is so vital. We can't even call it faith without the ingredient of obedience. Now, here's the thing. There's two more ingredients that we are going to be diving into. However, we really felt led that we were supposed to stay right here in obedience this morning. And the reason why is because, of course, we talked about the why of obedience last week. But the reality is that there is a crucial part to obedience that we have to talk about. And it is the reality of the fact that you cannot obey God unless you hear God. Now, here's the thing. How many of you, please tell me I'm not alone, have ever been in a position where you were like, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I just don't know what God wants me to do? Okay, I thought I wasn't alone, right? Where you want to believe him, you want to trust him, you want to do what he wants you to do, but you are struggling to even hear what he's asking, what he's even saying of you. And it's a hard place to be in. If you ask pastors, what are the number one questions that their congregation asks? And it is, how do I hear the voice of God? Like, how do I actually hear him? Like, I want to obey. I want to trust him. I want to do what he tells me to do. But I don't even know where to start when it comes to obeying him and when it comes to actually hearing him. And today we're going to do like an obedience part two. And we're going to talk about how to hear the voice of God, about hearing God. Because you have to understand that every part of Abraham's journey, every part of it, it was dependent upon his ability to hear God. Every part of it. If you go all the way back to where we started, that moment in Genesis 15, he would not be able to believe in something unless he heard something. Matter of fact, I want to go back to Genesis 15. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. There it is right there. This all started. This wasn't just because Abram just believed something out of nowhere. That's ambition. Just thinking of something and trying to do it. This wasn't his own things that he came up with. This all started with a word. And you got to understand that faith must start with a word. It always starts with what God says. And we can't even operate and walk in faith if we don't know how to hear what God even says to us. And what I want you to know this morning is that a lot of believers actually don't believe that we can hear from God. I actually think that's why a lot of people don't walk with God in that manner, because they don't even believe that they can hear him, right? And it's for many reasons. Some people believe that he spoke back then, but he doesn't speak now. I've heard that before. Like, no, that was the Bible time. Like, that was how God used to operate. He used to speak, but now, like, it doesn't happen like that. Like, come on. And the more I think about that, the more I'm like, are you kidding me? Like that is the furthest thing from the truth. Like, when I even think about the Bible, right? Like, just think about this. From the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, he opened up with talking to Adam. That's how he opened up the Bible. Then you go all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelations. He ends the Bible with visiting and speaking to John. And then in every book of the Bible in between, he spoke to his people. So you mean to tell me that he showed us his nature all through the word, that he speaks to his children, and then all of a sudden he stops? Can you tell me what sense does that make? And then when I think about, even what Pastor Ren was up here talking about, how he, what he did for us, the fact that he would die on a cross for us, go to that extent because of how much he loves us. How crazy is it to believe that he would die for us, but he doesn't want to speak to us? How crazy is that? If I'm willing to die for someone, of course I'm willing to talk to him. That is who he is. Or then there's some people who believe that he does speak, but he only speaks to certain people. He only speaks to the bishop. Or missionary such and such, prophetess, right? And I get it, right? Like we do know people who are close with God and you could just look at their life and you're like, man, God speaks to them. But you gotta understand that's the furthest thing from the truth. That God doesn't just speak to a certain elect of people. And when I look at passages like John chapter 10, I want you to listen to this. This is so good. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep listen to his voice. He said he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because, check this out, they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. If you keep on reading, you go down to verse 27, it says, my sheep know my voice. That kills two birds with one stone. Number one, it is so clear. It gets no clearer than that. He speaks. And then number two, it gives you the qualification to be able to hear from God. And it is the only thing you need to be able to hear from God is to be a sheep. It's to be his child. That is the only qualification that it is. So I want to let you know, you may not be up on stage with a mic. You may not have a title, a bishop before your name, but the Lord could care less about that because he wants to speak to you. Like, he genuinely wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Like, and I love those. And here's the thing. I want you to know that even as a Christian, because I said the only qualification is to be his sheep. I am a sheep, but there has been seasons where I felt like it's hard to hear his voice, or I feel like he's not speaking at times. But it's scriptures like this that I rest in those times. And I just go and I tell myself, no, his word says my sheep know my voice. And I rest in that. I'm a sheep. That means I can hear his voice. And some of you just need to start meditating on that so you can get it deep in your spirit that God does speak to you. Like, God wants to talk to me, that I don't have to wait until Sunday to hear the word from him, that when I'm in my car and when I'm going to work, he wants to lead and guide me. And who better to do it than a person who knows everything? I'm going to just let you know, it doesn't matter how anointed or how powerful the people up here who share. You got to understand, we are limited, but he is not. He is not misinformed and he is not uninformed. And he says, listen, you are not any longer my servant. You are my friend. I want you to be in on what I know. And I wonder how many of us don't experience that, because we just don't even believe that he wants to speak to us. I want to encourage you, if that's you, can you just like posture yourself this week and constantly tell yourself, I'm his sheep. He speaks to me. I'm his sheep. I'm your sheep, Jesus. Speak to me. I'm listening. Now, here's the thing, though, about being a sheep. Even sheep have to learn how to follow their shepherd. And there is an aspect of hearing God, and we got to understand that we have to develop, right? Because you're probably saying, well, I am a Christian. I ain't heard it. And it may be because we have to develop this. You think about babies, they were made to eventually grow up and talk, but they have to learn how to do it, right? It started very simple, dad, dad, mama. And then they up here just like me, just talking all kind of craziness, right? And I feel like spiritually it's the same way, that we learn to hear the voice of God. We learn to be led by him. So there's a couple of questions because I want to practically show you, okay, how do we learn, right? And I got three questions that I want us to dive into this morning. And the first question I want us to just rest in real quick is, why does God speak? Like, let's get to the root of this. Like we have established that he wants to speak to us, right? But why does he want to? And I believe that there are two main reasons why God speaks to us. One of the first reasons is that I believe he speaks to us for guidance. I believe that God speaks to us for guidance. And you got to understand that I can't help but think about passages like in the book of Acts, where Paul and his companions, it's the coolest book because they are constantly on a mission. Like, they are missionaries for the gospel. And you got to understand about Paul, he was on missionary trips that he didn't even know where the next day was going to lead him. He was literally day to day being led by God. I don't know about you, but that scares me. When I don't even know what my day is about to look like, I kind of freak out because I'm like, I need a plan, right? Well, Paul was literally a missionary, and he's literally being led by God. And there was even moments in the book of Acts where it would say that the Spirit of God told him, don't go there. Like he withheld them from going places. And you got to even think about how crazy it is, because every reason he was trying to go to those places were good reasons. But there were moments where the Holy Spirit would stop him and say, hey, don't go there. And as you're reading, you would be confused. Like, why would God not want him to go? And then you keep on reading and you see God was setting him up for a divine appointment, that if he would have left, he wouldn't have been there. And I don't know about you, but that is so cool to me. What I need you to understand, though, is that it's more than cool. It's true. It's not just cool for the Apostle Paul. It is how the Lord wants to navigate in our life. He doesn't want to just get us saved and then be like, hey, go ahead, baby, do your thing. No, like, he wants to partner with you in your everyday life. For you as a mom who is looking at your kids and you're thinking, I don't know what to do. He doesn't want to leave you by yourself in raising those kids. You as a father who is thinking about your family and making ends meet and providing, he doesn't want you to think it's all on you. It is not all on you. He says, I want to be with you. And I believe that there's several ways that he guides us. I think one way that he guides us is that he gives us directions. He directs us. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about what life was like before the GPS. Does anybody remember that? I don't. This phone has literally crippled me. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to just tell on myself. I don't know how to use a map. I don't. If you gave me a map and told me to go somewhere, just go ahead and say goodbye to me, because you're never going to see me again. I'm going to be stranded and it's going to end bad. And at least I know where I'm going. All right. I'm going to heaven. I'll be with Jesus, because I don't know how to read a map. I've never used a compass before in my life. So I don't think I know how to use a compass either. Like, I literally use this device to get anywhere. And what blows my mind is like how much trust I have in it. Like, I don't even, like, question, like, if this thing is taking me the right place. I put the address in, and I'm like, here we go. Like, I could be going to the sketchiest part of Shreveport, but I'm going because I just trust what it says, right? I've never seen anybody go, I wonder, is she right? Most people I know, they put the address in Google Maps, and they just go. Right? They're not trying to even pay attention. Like, I may need to get out of here. They're like, no, my GPS is going to take me out of here. Isn't it crazy that it's easier for us to trust the phone for directions than it is to trust God for directions? Isn't it crazy that when it comes to God, we are always questioning him? When we never question that phone. We never question Google Maps. You sure this the right way? We just, yep, you told me left. All right, here I go. When it comes to God, though, we like, what you doing? No, God, I think we should go this route. God, this don't make sense to me. We micromanage God, and we tell him, and God simply, he's like, no, you, how are you trusting a glitch device? Cause y'all know these things go in and out, right? They do what they want to do. Like, if Steve Jobs is smart, but he's not smarter than the Lord, I promise you. And it's so crazy how we get to a place where we would just follow anything that device tells us. But when it comes to God, we are so hesitant to trust as he directs. And I need you to know, like, he has our best interest in mind. He has your best interest in mind. He literally wants to give you the way. He is the way. And he wants to give you that. And so why don't we trust him? So he wants to give us directions. Here's another thing he wants to give us. He wants to give us correction. And even when I said that, I ain't getting no amen. Don't nobody want to be corrected, right? We tell Jesus, why you being a backseat driver? Leave me alone, right? Y'all know y'all do it. The hardest people to correct is adults, because you're like, I'm a grown man. Don't tell me how to get down. Okay. Right? We don't like correction. We don't like, but you know what? I just took a trip to Dallas with some friends. We went to a ladies' night. And I'm gonna be honest, my husband has messed me up because he drives everywhere. And I totally forgot how to drive. I was in Dallas. I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And I took a wrong turn, R4. It was a bunch of them actually. And what was so cool is that my GPS immediately, I mean, like, so fast rerouted me. Like, you wouldn't even have thought that I went the wrong way, because she was like, got you, girl. And I was like, thank you, girl. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't know what I would have did. I would have ran over somebody. I would have went on a one-way without her. Like, she was helping me out so much. I have never seen someone scream at the GPS for rerouting them. Never. Are you telling me to go here when you're the one made the wrong turn? No one has ever done that, right? Because we value the correction. We know that all the GPS is trying to do is get us right back on track. Why do we resist conviction from the Holy Spirit? He tells us to go here and we're like, I don't want to do that. When all he wants to do is get us right back on track. Can I tell you, we should love conviction. You got to understand, conviction is different from condemnation, right? Condemnation comes from the enemy, right? It's shame. It brings guilt. But conviction, that is out of love. And his direction and his correction is there only because he's like, I want the best for you. And listen, I know you did this out of place, but I can get you right back. Like I know you might have did the wrong thing, but hear me. I care about you. And I want to put you right back where you need to go. And so he directs us, he corrects us, but this is one of my favorite things about when God speaks to us in guidance. He gives us confirmation. He confirms some things. You know, me and Ren, we love to hike. Like, that's like one of our things. When we dated, we would go on day trips and we would hike. And the hardest part about hiking is, like, GPS doesn't work for hiking necessarily. Like, you can't put a trail in the GPS and be like, how do I get to this trail? You just got to trust the signs. And it was great whenever we went to a place we were familiar with. But when we would go to a new location to go hike, it kind of stressed me out a little bit. Because you get a sign that says, here's the trail, and you walk, and all you see is trees. And you got to assume that you're going the right way. I remember one time we went to Petit Jean. It's like one of my favorite places to go. But it was our first time going. And you know you should know when you hike, you got to check the time, because you don't ever want to get caught in a trail and then it gets dark and then a bear come and get you and it's bad, right? Or at least that's the way I think about it. I escalated really fast. And I remember we were at Petit Jean and we saw how long the hike was and we're like, we think we can make it. Like, we're going to be cutting it short, but we think we can make it. And we're going on this trail. We've never been here. And all I wanted to see was the beautiful waterfall, because I'm one of those people, I love a good waterfall. And so I just wanted to see it. And as we are on this trail, like, we saw the sign. I mean, like, I felt like an hour ago, and I'm nervous. I'm like, are we even going the right way? Cause like all I see is trees, and that looked like the same tree I saw. Are we going in circles? Like I'm getting kind of nervous, and I don't even hear water. So I'm like, surely, like you know what? We're gonna get God out here. It's gonna be bad. And I start getting nervous, and out of nowhere, we see this sign, and it says there's 0.4 miles until the waterfall. You got to understand, when I saw that sign, I was like, woo, praise Jesus, because they're going the right way. And you got to understand, like his voice wants to confirm things for you, that you're in church and you're doing things, but you're not sure, are we doing this right? Like, are we doing this marriage thing right? Are we doing this kid thing right? Like, how many of you parents have been there? Like, am I even doing this right? And his word wants to come alongside and say, hey, keep on going. Hey, you're doing the right thing. I'm here. Man, what a good father. That is one of the ways that he wants to speak to us. The reasons why is because he wants to guide us. But not only does he want to guide us, and this is that, because I told you it's two main reasons why he wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us for guidance, but I believe that he also wants to speak to us for friendship. And this is so important that we get that. God actually speaks to us for friendship. The reason why I say this, most people don't realize that majority of the time that God actually does speak to you is for the purpose and the motivation of friendship. A lot of times we say God's not speaking. And it's not because God's not speaking. It's just because we're not hearing what we want to hear. And we only seek God for guidance and not friendship. And it's a very dangerous place to be. I want you to know God is more concerned with proximity than he is direction. I think so many times we only go to God for direction. God, where do I need to go? Where do I need to work? God, where do we need to move to? God, what is this? What is that? And we know, we've already talked about that. God wants to, he wants to direct us. But God says, listen, I actually am more concerned with proximity, which means how far or close you are to me. And he says, because I know if you are close to me, you won't even go the wrong direction. And some of us are just so, the only reason why we go to God is because we want him to tell us an answer. And he says, listen, I'm beyond just the answers and giving you answers to your questions. I just love you. And because I love you, if you stay near to me, you won't go the wrong way. And that's why in seasons when I don't feel clarity on direction, I just rest with him. Because I know if I'm with my daddy, I'm not going to go the wrong way. And I may not know exactly how to move forward, but man, I got a friend to sit with me as I wait for him to speak. So just know, like just because you aren't hearing what you want to hear does not mean that God's not speaking. I remember, and I'm going to tell on myself, but it was a horrible day, and I went to go walk. I was at the Stonewall Park. I went to just go walk around the trail, and I was, you know, when you're in that mood and you're just going, you just want to vent to the Lord, right? And I am just like, God this and God that and God this. And it was so hot. I just remember sweating and crying. It was just a mess. I was just a mess. And I just finally got fed up, and I said, God, why won't you speak to me? And I felt him say so sweetly, I'm not saying anything to you because I don't have anything to say to you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. He's like, when I have something to say to you, I will. I will. I'm God. But right now, I just want to be with you. In your pain, I want to be with you. In your grief, I want to be with you. In your frustration, I want to be with you. And some of us only want God to tell us answers. We don't want him to be father. We don't want him to be friend. And he says, listen, I'm so much more than a compass. I'm so much more than a map. I am a person. I am your father. I love you. And I'll take care of the rest of those things. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. All those other things. He's not confused about those other things. He's not in heaven thinking, what am I going to do? I got to figure this out. He knows. So he just says, if you just stay with me, you're good. Stay close to me. Here's the second question I want us to answer. How does God speak? And I'm going to run through these because I know I spent a lot of time on those other ones. But how does God speak? I believe that there's three ways that God speaks. Number one, he speaks by the Spirit of God. He speaks spirit to spirit. There's this passage in Romans 8. It says the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. He speaks to spirit to spirit. Many of you have experienced this, and maybe you didn't even know what to call it, okay? And this is what this can look like. It can look like this inner voice, right? Like this inner voice within you where you can't stop thinking about something and you know it's not from you. And a lot of us have been there before where you're like, I don't know what this is. And I've even heard people saying, I keep hearing this and I don't know if it's God. And I'm like, most of the times it is. Like deep within your hearts, he is speaking to you. I remember when I was about to graduate high school, and I was so distraught because I was in that season where I was like, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I don't know what he wants me to do. And I was frustrated. And I was like, God, why won't you just tell me? And I remember I had graduated. I mean, we're in the summer where most kids are getting ready for college. I had no idea what I was doing. And I just remember out of nowhere, I got this inner, just this inner voice within me feeling led to apply to Northwestern. And I knew that wasn't me because, number one, I did not want to go there. And I hate the fact that their mascot is the demons. I said, the devil is a lie. I ain't doing that. I was like, what? Why would I go to a school called the demons? And so I just remember I shook that like right after. I was like, no, I rebuke you, devil. It's no. Then the next week, I felt it again. And I couldn't shake it. And so I literally was so embarrassed that I was going to apply. I didn't even tell anybody I applied. Like, I applied secretly, and I was like, let's just see what happens. Like, 2 weeks later, and you got to understand, this is right before students are about to go to school, so this is way later than I should be applying. I get this acceptance letter telling me that they want to pay me to go to school. Then I immediately when I opened up the letter and I read it, I knew immediately from the peace. I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I didn't want to do it. My flesh didn't feel peace, but my spirit, I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm supposed to do this. And I kept just saying to God, like, if this is you, make a way. And so literally they told me they would pay me to go to school. If you think about housing, when I checked for housing, they said housing had been filled for months. They were like, you're going to probably have to commute. Well, they called me back and they're like, we have a place for you to stay in the senior apartments. I was a freshman. I'm now getting to stay with seniors in the apartments. It was literally one thing after the other, the classes that I was in, literally. And it was all from that inner voice within me telling me I needed to go there. And still when I was there, I didn't know why. And now as I look back, I see what he was doing because I thought I was supposed to go to a Bible school that was in another state. But he literally called me there because I was able to come to church every Sunday. My mom ended up passing away that semester. That meant I got to see her every weekend. I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know that I was going to end up working here. I didn't know any of those details, but it was that inner voice within me saying, hey, just apply to Northwestern. Listen to that voice that speaks to you, that you know it ain't you. Listen to it. So he speaks to us with that inner voice. Sometimes it's nudges, right? It's not even that you even know what you're supposed to do, but it's this nudge. There's been times where I've been in services where the Lord would say, hey, go talk to that person. And I don't even know what he wants me to say to the person. And at first when that used to happen, I remember when that first used to happen to me, I would just sit there and be like, God, when you tell me what to say, I'll go. And I remember one Sunday I was like, I'm just going to go. And I started walking and I felt stupid because I was like, what am I going to say to this person? And literally as soon as I got to that person, the words just fell out. And that person, literally, I remember just like, you don't understand what that means. And it was all from a nudge. Some of you have felt those nudges like, I need to call this person. I need to text this person. You know, even if it's a simple like, hey, just thinking about you, listen to those nudges. I can tell you, like, I've had regret from moments where I felt the Spirit tell me to do something and I didn't do it. Then I forgot. And then when I talked to that person, they were like, man, this day I was struggling. I was like, wow, I should have listened. I should have listened. So it's nudges. And then it also is the peace of God. the peace. Like you can feel peace in your spirit, and there's a security. There's this fulfilling of like, you know what, this comfort, like God's in this. Most of the time, the peace of God actually happens in moments where you would think there would be no peace. In moments where you were trying to figure things out, and you're like, wow, what is this? And that's God speaking and saying like, hey, I'm with you. This is me. I'm in this with you. So he speaks to us spirit to spirit. Another way that he speaks to us is the written word of God. I believe this with all of my heart. Do not say that God is not speaking if your Bible is closed. Do not say that he is not speaking if your Bible is closed. That is one of the main ways that God speaks to us. I love this passage in 2 Timothy. He says, all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All those things that we just talked about, him directing us, him confirming. He does that so many times through his word. I can't tell you how many times I'll read a passage, and I've read that passage all my life, but in that moment, it confirms something. In that moment, it reveals something that I'd never seen before. You got to understand, there's something about this Bible that is unlike any school book, any fiction book. Like, this Bible is alive and is active. You got to understand, yes, it has a historical context. Yes, it has a narrative behind it, but it also has a word for now, a rhema word that can meet you in your moment that says, hey, I know this is talking about David, but this is what it means like for you. I know this is talking about Paul, but this is what it means for you. No other Bible, no other book can do that. And I know like it can be intimidating to open it up, but I gotta let you know, like, you can't afford not to. We can't. Some of us say, I'm too busy to read it. I think that you can't afford to not read it. When I think about what he wants to do through it. And then the last way is that he speaks through the people of God. He speaks through the people of God. I can't tell you how many times that I have already even heard something from God, but it was like someone in the body of Christ that confirmed it. Like, I knew it, but because they spoke it to me, it's like, wow, yes. And I just want to encourage you, just like I was talking about with those text messages and those phone calls, don't discount when God tells you to do something. Like we were talking about Paul, a lot of times in his ministry, as he was being a missionary to all these different places, God told him something, but God used a person to tell him. So don't discount what God has to tell you for someone else, because you never know the weight that carries. And then the last thing, how do I know if it's God? And this is a legit question. Because you hear all this and you're like, yes, I'm ready to hear from God, I'm ready to do. But then you got that thing in the back of your head that's like, is this God or is that pizza I ate last night? Right? Like, what is this? I'm not quite sure. And just real quick, I want to give you three things that you can always go back to if you want to know if it's God. Number one, does it line up with the word of God? Does it line? The Lord will never contradict himself. It may seem contradicting to you because maybe sometimes you don't get the fullness of the picture. But if it does not line up with the word, it isn't him. Point blank, period. And so even if people give you words, right? Because you got to understand that people are also flawed. So there is no word that I take that I don't take to the word. It's what I love. I remember so many messages where Pastor Glenn would even say, hey, you take everything that I spoke and you take it to the word. I love that. And so when you are navigating through the Lord speaking and you're trying to navigate and learn, because you know at first you were learning, as you learn, ask yourself, how is this supported in his word? Number two, does it produce peace or confusion? God is not a God of confusion. He is not a God of confusion. I would even tell you, if you are in a situation and you feel pressure or you feel confusion, just be still. Just be still, because you'll never make a good decision out of pressure. And you got to get to a place where you just trust what God has for you is for you. So I know that they may tell you that, hey, if you don't buy this car today, like, we're not going to give you this deal. We'll say bye. Because what God has for me is for me. And if I feel confused, if I feel uneasy, I don't have to move. I have the God of all resources. I will get what I need. So if it does not give you peace, then it ain't him. And then the last thing is, does godly counsel agree? Does godly counsel agree? I love this passage in Jeremiah 3:15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. God is so faithful. And as he, the good shepherd, he has given us shepherds. And I love even just even here, Pastor, hearing Pastor Paul talk about this, because I've heard him from the pulpit talk about multiple times. He doesn't, there are big decisions he doesn't make without going to Pastor Glenn and going to his dad. Like, he believes in the godly counsel around him. And I just want to encourage you, like, use the people God has put in your life. Don't be out here just doing stuff and not asking the people of God, like, hey, what are your thoughts on it? And of course, you know the voice of God, but I think it is so wise that we submit that to the people and the shepherds that God has provided. Amen?
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.